Good evening, Wahoo fans. This is Frank Maloney with my good, very tall, usually very friendly co-host,
Jim
Hopgood.
Extremely good-looking, too. You forgot that part.
I know. You keep doing that.
It's radio. Nobody can question it.
I know. That's the sad thing. As always, we take you behind the scenes to meet the Wahoos that make news in the sports world. We're glad that you've joined us tonight. First off, we must congratulate head coach George Galinovich and the men's UVA soccer team for winning their sixth NCAA title on Sunday. An outstanding game. It was a wild weekend down there in Cary, North Carolina, as the Hoos defeated Wake Forest 2-1 in overtime on Ownby's golden goal. And then we squeaked out a big W in in penalty kicks, 3-2 against the Akron Zips in the cold, wet, and difficult finals. What a terrific season for the Hoos as they won the ACC title and the NCAA title. Somewhere, Bruce Arena must be smiling.
Absolutely. I too join Frank in congratulating the men's soccer team. Nice to have another national title in the fold. I guess that's number 19 as the University of Virginia Athletic Department from the standpoint of team titles. Speaking of basketball teams, Frank and I are teamed up tonight. We have a great guest, as always has been the case, former UVA forward and current men's basketball assistant coach Jason Williford will be joining us shortly. In addition, in the second half hour of the show, we'll be joined by former UVA and NFL defensive tackle Stuart Anderson, who will talk to us, as the football folks have recently, about the selection of Mike London to be the head football coach and rebuild our football program. Frank, how can people reach us tonight?
Well, there are a number of ways. You can follow Who's Talking as we stream live on sportsradio910.com, as well as thesaber.com. We encourage you to send your questions or comments either by email to whostalking@sportsradio910.com, or most of all and best of all, you can call us at 345-0910. That's 345-0910. Our shows are archived on thesaber.com, and we've also set up a Facebook page, so please search Who's Talking and become a fan and send your questions and comments to us.
I know you're a man of the world and a great soccer expert. These so-called penalty kicks at the end, why do they call them penalty kicks?
I think they're trying to penalize the fans and the coaches. Oh, were we supposed to say that?
Oh. Maybe they should be, you know, overtime kicks or, whatever kind of kick you would have to determine the outcome. It seems like penalty kick is an overused term there. Penalty kick would imply it was a penalty during the game that somebody was having a kick.
Well, it's unfortunate that soccer has not been able to resolve that because, you know, the whole time constraints with TV and cable and so forth, the game just cannot go on forever. And, you know, besides the players, by the time they get through that second overtime period, you know, they're barely walking, much less running. I mean, they're pooped.
Well, there's no question that the guys that play that sport, I mean, you know, there have been arguments back and forth once in a while as to maybe the game's a little boring and they could tweak the rules a little bit to get some more scoring. But there's no question these guys are superbly conditioned athletes. They're going to run up and down that field for 2-3 hours that they do. So just, again, congratulations to the UVA soccer team.
All right. At this point, I think what we want to do is we're going to bring Jason Williford on the air with us. But first, let's have Jimbo give us a little background on Jason.
Yes, Jason Williford, as many people that will be listening tonight know, is a Richmond native. Went to and played for John Marshall High School back in the day. I saw him play as a high school player at Godwin High School. Was very impressed then. Continued to follow his great career at UVA, where he played on a terrific basketball team throughout his career, finishing in 1995 with the team that went to the Elite Eight, a 25-win season. Of course, Junior Burrow, Corey Alexander, and others were his teammate. After playing professional basketball in Iceland, and I want you to know, Iceland is not necessarily thought of as a basketball hotbed. You know, I mean, you know, most people think New York City, Iceland. You know, Reykjavik, right. New York City. Right. We'll have to ask Jason about the Iceland experience. But once he finished playing basketball, he became a coach, I think, initially back at his high school alma mater. And then he spent 4 or 5 years with Dennis Wolf, a former Virginia assistant at Boston University. Then, of course, went to American, where he was an assistant for Jeff Jones, and is in his first year under Tony Bennett in Charlottesville. He is married with two young sons. They're both indeed young, so the legacy kids will not be at Virginia for a while. So we can't hope. That's not going to be our rescue, is the Wilford boys. It's down the road. But at any rate, Jason, are you there? Welcome to the show.
Jim, thank you. You're way too kind, way too kind. And in fact, I actually played in Iceland and Korea, so two hotbeds of basketball.
Two are better than one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, they both can be cold spots. I would assume Iceland is a little chilly during the basketball. So do they play over there during the winter months?
Absolutely, and it's very chilly, very windy. You don't see the sun ever. But you know what? You get good. Very good seafood. I enjoyed my time there. The food's awesome.
Well, now, is there any truth to the rumor that they paid you so much that you were single-handedly responsible for the collapse of the banking system in Iceland in the last couple of years?
Yeah, no, you know what? Unfortunately, that is not true. I wish it were the case. Trust me.
Jason, we got a number of questions we want to get to. Maybe we'll start with the letters of intent have been signed, so
correct.
You can now discuss the five kids who will be coming next fall, well, I guess next August or maybe even next summer, whenever they arrive. But tell us a little bit about the five young men who will be joining the Virginia basketball program next year.
Yeah, we got five outstanding student athletes. We got a really good two guard. KT Harrell from Alabama. He had a very, very good summer. He can score in multiple ways. He's actually putting up great numbers now in high school. He's about 6'4". His basketball IQ is off the charts. He's probably our highest rated recruit.
Yeah, I saw a YouTube video on him. I think it was on the Sabre, and it looks like he can really play, and also it looks like he's a terrific outside shooter as well.
No, he's great. He's a Tony Bennett guard. He's just complete. He can shoot it. He can dribble it. He can defend. He's got it. Like I said, he's just very sound and has a tremendous feel for the game, and that's something that Tony's very high on in regards to, you know, what he looks for in recruits. The second will be James Johnson, who's this, I would say, after KT, the next highest rated kid. He's a 6'8", 6'9", kid from San Diego, very bouncy. I think you guys are going to like his game. I'm trying to think of someone he reminds me of that's played here, and Jason Kane comes to mind as far as just his activity on the glass, his ability to rebound, and I thought you know, Jason has not always gotten the credit he deserved, but I thought he was a very instrumental part of that team when they actually won the ACC. He was huge. James is as good a rebounder, and hopefully we can get him on the offensive end able to be productive as he matures in his game. Then the third kid is Will Regan, another 6'8 kid from Buffalo, New York. Just a blue collar. He's gonna run through a wall for Coach Bennett. If we ask him to screen, he'll screen all day. If we ask him to defend and rebound, he's just more of a blue collar role guy.
You need a few of those.
Absolutely. And he's had he's obviously off to a very good senior year. I think his first two games he got like 30 and 33 points. So he's off to a good start. Akil Mitchell is a 6'7". Combo forward. Akil actually may be closer to 6'8 now, but a combo 4'3, very skilled. His game is very reminiscent of I think how I played, although he's a lot better than I was coming out of high school, more athletic. The fifth player is Joe Harris. A 6'5", 6'6" wing from the state of Washington, who again has a tremendous basketball IQ. He shoots it from three. He actually plays some point guard for his high school. So again, we're getting a well-rounded, very good basketball player. And our class, I think, has been ranked. I've seen in some publications as high as 12 and somewhere between 12 and 17 nationally. So I think we're off to a good start. So
yeah, you got and the thing I like about them, I think they all seem to be character kids, you know, good kids, good fits at the University of Virginia.
Absolutely. And you know, you have gone here and I play here. That's what this program has always been about. And you know, we just got to continue that tradition, getting great character, great student athletes.
Frank's going to jump in here in a minute. Let me ask that. That was all the good news. Let me touch one piece of not so good news. Tell me about the last 7.7 seconds down there in Auburn, Alabama. What were we trying to do? I know we weren't trying to let somebody go 94 feet and get a tip in at the. That was not the objective.
We were not. It was a roller coaster of emotions. You know, we get fouled. Sammy hits three free throws. We're up one. Our intent was to stay in front of the ball. Switch any ball screen, and then check out, box out. Unfortunately, as I watched film, I think our two big guys they contested shots and somehow ended up on the floor. So we didn't have anybody to rebound. It was an unfortunate situation for us. The kids fought so hard. It was tough. But they battled, they hung in there. And, you know, we did it without Mike Scott. So,
right.
We were hoping, we thought we had that one, and it just slipped out of our grasp.
Well, the thing that I think Jim and I have both been impressed by is somehow the team in every one of these games has managed to overcome whatever they're struggling with and get into a good dogfight going down the stretch so they have a chance to win.
Right. Well, you know, Coach Bennett is trying to preach toughness, mental and physical, on the defensive side. And, you know, we know at times we're going to have some droughts where we can't score the ball. And you know, obviously playing without Mike Scott at Auburn, you know, we just didn't have a post presence. But, you know, we have to be consistent defensively. And to their credit, they have battled. They've continued to fight. We've gotten down. And hopefully we can continue to do that. And now we just have to learn how to win. And once we learn how to win, that becomes contagious, and it's fun. I've been a part of that, and hopefully we can get that back.
Yeah, we may take a caller here in a minute, Jason. You mentioned Mike Scott. Just real quick, talk about his high ankle sprain. Is he going to be ready to go on Saturday?
Well, we're hoping so. You know, he's slowly working his way back. You know, we're in no rush. We don't want to rush him and where he's not ready to go come ACC play.
Right.
But you know, we're taking it slow. It's still a day. It's a you know, a day by day thing that we're dealing with here. And if the trainer says, if Ethan says he can go, we hope to have him. But as of now, I don't know. I'm not sure he'll be ready.
Jason, we've got a caller. I believe it's Bill on. Line one, he has a question. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Frank.
Bill, go ahead and ask your question of Jason.
Hey, Jason, it's Bill Jeter. Good to see hear from you there.
Bill, how you doing?
Doing great. Hey, I had a question. Is there any point after maybe 10 or 12 or 15 games that Coach Bennett might start deciding on his starting lineup or in his strongest six or seven players? And playing those players a majority of the minutes so they can learn how to play together. And the reason I ask that, over the past 10 or 12 years, we have substituted 10 or 12 players in 3 to 5 minute stretches, and no one's been on the court a long period of time and learned to play together. And I've seen some players play three different positions in one game.
Right.
And I'm wondering if there's thought to having a set five players or six or seven players play the predominant 80-85% of the minutes and learn how to play together.
Well, yeah, we're trying. I mean, I think it's a work in progress. If we were 8-0 right now and we had, you know, a lineup that was getting it done, by all means, I know he would stick with that. I think we're searching on trying to find the right lineup. At times, you know, guys have struggled. And other guys have been able to step in. You know, we battled some injuries early, a couple suspensions. So there's been issues and things that we've had to deal with as a staff. But to the kids' credit, they continue to fight regardless of who's in and who's on the floor. And I think you will very soon see a set lineup in a rotation. I guess that's what you're asking, a 8-man rotation, 9-man rotation. But you know, it's a work in progress, and you know, this is our first year. But I think we're still working, and the kids are battling.
Well, Jason and Bill, we've got to go to a commercial break real quick. So we ask our listeners to hang on. We're going to carry Jason over the break. And, Bill, if you have another question, stay with us.